what it is, what it was, what it shall be, what a game, is what I'm saying. The Sharks were able to pull out a 3-2 overtime victory, basically kind of dovetailing on the Barracuda beating the Ontario Reign 4-1. I'm your host here on Teal Town USA After Dark, AJ Strong, of course, with me, Putt Guy 14 and Rocket Backhander. What say you people?
Yay!
I love making late night deposits into the bank.
That's all it takes. Now.
It's not that late.
Well, I mean, we all saw that the Sharks, not so great first game home opener, 5-2 loss to Anaheim. So this one, a scotch better, if you will. A scotch. But it starts off, I mean, Braun tripping Kovalchuk on a bad pass from Dylan, but a great kill, even though they limited the chances. But the Sharks get on the board, 1-0, about halfway through the first period. Thornton gives it back to Vlasic after Pickles held the line, which was beautiful. Did not allow LA to enter their offensive zone whatsoever. Gets it back up. Thornton feeds over to Meyer. Gets it. I mean, Meyer just right in. What was the quote tonight? In his kitchen. But Meyer gets in Quick's kitchen. Pickle launches a slapper. Meyer gets a tip. And boom, 1-0 Sharks. Rocket, your call.
I was really honestly too focused on the emotional aspect of this game and not like it, you know, like this means something, it's emotional. Just because we haven't seen LA and, you know, Randy said like 200 and something days. So, you know, it's been a hot minute and it's like they still hate each other and that feels good. I don't mean like the animosity is something I enjoy. I just think that there's a healthy rivalry and it brings out a style of play between the two teams that perhaps isn't apparent in other matchups. So it was fun. It was just fun. I was glad, you know.
Puck guy?
Well, let's be real here. I think the... they needed a pickup after this disaster opening night, and so nice start, and they got things going early, and they needed to get things going early, I think for physically and psychologically.
Hey now, are you guys seeing any type of stream link? Because usually you're supposed to be on YouTube and there should be a nice little thing that says we're now live, and I'm not seeing that right now. So I'm wondering what is going on.
Nope. Nothing.
Very odd.
Never got a notification for that matter either. Oh, wait. Now I see it. Let me tweet that out. You guys go ahead and...
There we go.
For you.
Sure. A missed pass ended up on Toffoli's stick. Man, something that I haven't seen so far through two games. Not a lot of communication. That needs to get better in a big way. 13:48, the Sharks make it 2-0. Suomela holds the puck in the zone and then gets it over to Kane, who just goes top shelf. Great short passes. Suomela getting his first NHL point. Rocket, are you kind of like, you know what? Not really missing Tierney that much. Like, I think we're going to be okay.
Whoa. No. Okay, listen. This is the second game into the season. Small sample size for one, number two. There will always be a Tierney-shaped hole in this roster. I'm sorry. That's just, there will be a little cobra indentation. You know, everybody's got a little bite mark. Can't undo that. Yeah.
What are they going to call Suomela at this point? The Rattler something?
They probably call him Melly. So it'll be something like Mellow. They'll just call him like Mellow Yellow or something.
Sumo?
Yeah. No, I think it'll be Mellow.
As Melly. Long as it's not just the Melly. Ones we were using earlier in the preseason with the Somalia.
Let it go.
Right? Oh, man. Yes, please let it. Okay.
But
go ahead.
But I was going to say, nice pass to hold. It almost looked a little no look to Kane, and Kane had a great shot that beat Jonathan. I thought they kind of controlled the game a little bit until, you know, Anže Kopitar got his first of the season from Iafallo and Forbert, 17-15. But I thought they played pretty well throughout the entire period.
Hmm. Absolutely. Wow, this is really odd. But I like it. I'm just looking at the thumbnail shot. That's cool. It's bizarre, but it's cool.
apparently it's showing that it's unlisted.
That's very bizarre. It's very bizarre, but we'll look into that.
It's a secret chat. Okay, I get it.
Oh, yes. I see you now. So, yeah, we went a little secret tonight. What are you going to do? one of the things I took away from that first period was, is LeBanc big enough? I mean, he was getting run more than a few times. It's kind of, boy, that kid needs to put on some pounds.
No, I don't think he does. I think if you put on pounds, you lose speed.
after the towards the end of the first, with just under 3 minutes, Jones lets in what might be one of the flukiest goals on the planet, off Kopitar, goes in from Kopitar, but after a fluke bounce, when Forbert fires it off, Iafallo skate. And you're just talking about right place, right time. Kopitar where he needs to be. And it's just a gaping shot. Nobody is going to stop that one, Eric. It's just going in no matter what you're going to do.
Yeah, it wasn't as softy as the one that ended up being the game winner on Wednesday night. But that one, like, oh, Joner, you got to get over to the other side. I think I tweeted out, hug that post. Unfortunately, meh. Blech. It's like that nasty taste when I've had guacamole.
Well, what saw that, Rock. I mean, is that one of the, that's just one of those hockey things that happens. You get a fluke goal. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it really is one of those things that I'm trying to figure out a way to say it other than the way that you just said it, so I don't sound like I'm completely repeating what you just said, but basically, yeah, everything you just said. It was a fluke. It doesn't happen normally. You know, it's not really anybody's fault. It's just one of those crummy things that happens. Everything you said.
Well, and I love that they've announced the three stars of the game. Of course, Banker gets the numero uno for winning an OT, but second star of the game, Quick. Okay. Yeah, I suppose so. Sure.
I'm not mad at that. He stood on his head. There's a couple of shots that were, it made me greatly, deeply enraged that they didn't go in.
Yeah, especially on that, 5 seconds of power play on that first one? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just saying. But things did not start off well for Team Teal on the second period. Kings tied up 2-2, 37 seconds in. Toffoli just caught the Sharks napping, in my opinion. And LeBanc was kind of snoozing on that one, as was Jones. And Jones was not... He wasn't embracing the post. There was some love lost between his pads and the post, Rocket. I mean, you got to embrace your post. Love your posts.
Yeah, but if you're a killer... yeah, man. It didn't... yeah.
Use your words, yeah, Rocket. Man.
Dude, I'm at a loss for words tonight. Just like this game, I watched this game and I found that I had a very difficult time breaking things down into watching the offensive and watching the defensive and knowing that the third line was out. I just was back at that level where I was watching things and I was aware that things were happening. And I was, it's tough. Like the beginning of the season is always tough for me because it's been a hot minute since I've watched hockey this fast being played. So yeah, I'm not always articulated this early in the season. I apologize. This is a good game. I'm really excited. This is one of the few games that I actually like get stoked about against LA, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
California hockey.
I mean,
yeah, Eric, but go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's another LA game, which means playoff type, even though it's the second game of the season opener exactly. For LA. And it already feels like a playoff game.
Yeah, they definitely got their feistiness going there, especially on the love tap from Timo Meier. And I'm sorry, you said we were playing LA. I swear we were playing the Canucks, especially in the second period.
Are you trying to say that the Kings were falling a little easier than most?
I'm just saying, in Bakes and Hedy did make some of those slashes do. They do tend to hurt, but I swear I was like, wow, he must have gotten hit hard or took a skate slash or something. It looked a little more, way more serious than I thought it was. And then magically when LA gets a power play, Dowdy's back. I mean, amazing recovery.
I wouldn't go that far. I think he probably just got a stinger. Maybe he thought it was worse than it was. But I've seen things like that happen in sports where you just take – it doesn't take a lot of pressure, but if you hit just the right spot, it can scare the crap out of you. I remember a friend, you know, very quickly, I remember a friend who, I don't know why, thought it would be a good idea to hang a dartboard – on his patio, but he hung it in front of the glass window. Okay. Now he wasn't burning in the darts at all. He was just practicing and he was maybe 15 feet away, if that, but he was just practicing. And one of the darts, he threw it just a little bit low and that thing, we're talking very little pressure whatsoever. And it just the tip of that shattered the entire window. It literally hit the sweet spot. You could have hit that 20,000 ways in different spots and it would have been fine. But you just hit that one spot. So I can understand why Dowdy was probably upset to a certain point because he thought he was injured. But I would hope that Dowdy would go back and look at that and realize he barely tapped me. You know, he just got, you know, the perfect spot. So after that, though, the Kings brought immediate pressure. I mean, it took about 5 minutes for the Sharks to realize that, okay, the Kings are a little pissed off right now. We got to figure out a way to deal with this. But they looked great after killing the Kings' second penalty in the second period, especially the fourth line. Goodrow and Sorensen looked fantastic. Pavs and Jumbo kind of showing their age and speed a little bit, although Pavs did get a breakaway towards the late part. But what do you think after two periods? How are you feeling when it's tied up? You have the incident with Dowdy, and then the Kings start to bring some pressure. The Sharks seem to be on the back of their skates a little bit. Rocket, I mean, did you like the response at least?
Yeah, I thought that the third period was. It seemed very focused. It didn't seem like anybody was aggravated or winded or like defeated. They definitely took some notes and they had a plan of attack and it worked. I think what really made the third period interesting were the outstanding performances by the goaltenders at either end. I mean, there was some really fantastic shots from either teams that I'm sure that for every time I heard, how did that not go in on the Sharks broadcast? I'm sure heard it twice as much on the LA broadcast. So Yeah, plus the speed didn't seem to wear down at all. You know what I mean? Like sometimes that first period's super fast, and then second period gets a little bit slower. And then third period, rust starts showing up and everything starts slowing down a little bit more and more. And this definitely did not feel like it. So I think that the adrenaline was definitely going. Again, like I said, because this is a rivalry. Maybe that had something to do with it. Who knows? It was a good game, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to finish up the second, Pearson hooking power play for the Sharks that lasted all of 4 seconds as Paz goes off for interference. So yeah, that was great. But the interesting part, at least with the power play tonight, Thornton not on the first unit. You got Hertl, Pavs, Couture with Carlson and Burns, and then Thornton out there with LeBanc, Kane, Meyer, and Vlasic. But you can sit there and I don't know, change the pieces, but if you're still putting the puzzle together the same way, I don't know that it's going to make that much of a difference. And it didn't tonight. There's a lot of people chirping about hometown officiating. I don't know that I would say that necessarily. I mean, okay, the Kings got five, Sharks got three. However, the Sharks did get one in the final 2 minutes. The Sharks could have won this at the end of the third period. They could have won it. I mean, Carter goes off at 5:44 in the third period for interference on Pavelski, and I think the Sharks, I don't even know that they got a shot on goal. That there was more linesmen were lost in that third period than shots on goal on the power play for the Sharks.
What took the linesman out? Does anybody know?
I missed it.
No, I was I didn't see it at all. Randy had just mentioned it and that he was out and he was unlikely to return. And that was pretty much all they said.
Was Dustin Brown.
What are you going to do? Oh, I'm getting, okay, I should have acknowledged this. Kayla is in fact here, but because of the camera setup we have, you just can't see her.
Oh, boy.
She is here. I know Laurel is upset. So we move on to overtime, free hockey after the Sharks do
Yay.
aren't able to cash in on a full power play at the end of the third. So there was a lot of fun. I mean, they start off with Hertl, Couture, and Carlson, and you're kind of like, oh, that this could be fun. This could be over quick, is what it could. And
Ew.
yeah, it wouldn't surprise you if it was over very quick on that one. Da-dum-tsh. Yeah, the obvious. Funny thing about this though, Jones and Quick almost finished the game with almost identical save percentages, despite one making 30 saves, the other making 19. One had 909, the other one nat 905. It's kind of funny in that regard. So obviously Quick stopping a lot more rubber. So you at least give something to the Sharks is that they didn't let Jones see as many shots. But to get back to the overtime goal at 2:45 of OT, Carlson to Couture to LeBanc, and for a guy who's been in San Jose for all of 3 weeks, that clicked, Eric. That clicked very nicely.
Yes, well, ironically, you say he's been in Silicon Valley and he clicks. So, but no, nothing. Jeez. Yeah, they looked pretty in sync there. It was nice to see, of course, Erik Karlsson gets his first point as a San Jose Shark. But they just seem nice out there. And strange thing, I thought they dominated overtime. I thought they played really well. Limited anything that LA had for chances and dominated the play in overtime.
I agree completely, Eric. I was really nervous about that, actually. I was like, oh, shoot, is this going to be one of those overtimes where we just dominate, 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 one stupid breakaway and they win? And it was
Yep.
about that time that we won. So I was like, oh, guess not.
Right there with you, Rock. The
Yeah.
entire time I'm going, oh no, this has disaster written all over. But luckily, Sharks were able to be victorious. When do we start the pool, the betting pool of which we're 2 games in now, still looking for a power play goal. Again, but also out of frame is my power play drum. But at some point, if we don't get something happen, the Sharks, it's the beginning of a 5-game road trip. You know, kids are headed back east for 4 more after this before they come home. Do the Sharks, Rocket, win? Who is it that they scored against? I mean, who do they got? It's like, who is it? It's the Islanders.
They got the Islanders.
The Flyers.
Monday morning at 10 a.m.
Oh, dear Lord. Do we have Monday off or something? Oh, Columbus Day, huh?
Columbus Day and Canadian Thanksgiving.
Oh, I
want some Canadian turkey.
I feel like I forgot to send out an email to my boss.
Are they? Well, no, not them. But No, not them either.
I think it could be the Islanders.
When's the first time they're playing Vancouver?
Oh. Did somebody say Vancouver?
I'll no.
You just did.
No, I did not.
I'm making it up. Vancouver is the Friday before Thanksgiving.
Okay. Yeah. So the Friday before Thanksgiving, there's a possibility that the Sharks will score on the power play.
Ouch.
Wow.
Okay. I'm going to say it happens versus the Islanders. I think they're going to be thrown off by the time change, and they're going to be like, whoa, hockey at 10 a.m.? I bet if we score on the power play, we don't have to play much longer.
Nah.
New system.
Oh, that's what you're saying they need.
Yes.
Yeah, because they're still playing 1-3-1. You still have basic, like I said, the same guys kind of in the same position. We figured this out. Why the Sharks don't maybe go back to the days of when Thornton was setting up behind the net and you had guys coming in from both sides and you never knew where that puck was going to go. I don't know why they got away from that because it did work really well for quite some time. Maybe we need to see a return to that. That would be nice. But real quick, before we get any further along, I see we got 55 people watching. For those of you who are new here, thank you very much for checking us out. We would really love it if you subscribe to hit the subscribe button, hit the little notification bell. It'll let you know every time we go live here. And you'll get if you subscribe, you get a little, you know, email, a little pop-up that says, hey, because this is, we go live after every single Sharks game, but we also jump on when news breaks or if Rocket needs to tell you what would happen if the playoffs started today. I'm just, it will happen. So please, you know, follow us on Twitter at Teal10USA, on the Instagram, and here, subscribe to the YouTube channel. So with that housekeeping out of the way,
let me mention we hit 900 subscribers today, so thank you to all of those who subscribe to the YouTube channel. I think I'm getting infiltrated. Oh, look, we just acquired Marlo back.
Oh, really? Okay, I see your Marlo, and I'll raise you a Kayla.
Oh boy,
Kayla.
So.
And now the other one gets jealous, so.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
And that does it for the pucks and paws portion of our programming.
Okay.
But you know what we need to switch over for real quick, boys? Oh, dear Lord. Okay.
Go ahead.
Could we not? Oh, dear Lord. We need celebratory audio for 900. Okay. Before we move on to questions in the chat, so start getting them ready. We have to go back to SAP Center for a second because something else did happen tonight. That is right, kids. The CUDA opened their season versus the Little Kings, the Ontario Reign. And Gambrell starts off, gets the first two goals on his first two shots. oh my God, and came so close to getting a hat trick. You talk about a kid who is clearly jacked to make it back up to the big club. That's all I'm saying. But all the goals that were scored by the Barracuda tonight were tweeted out on at Tealtown USA on the Twitter, so you can go check those out. Eric, you were saying?
I mean, why are you guys surprised that Dylan Gambrell is doing this so great? I mean, hello, ever since he put on number 14 on the back of his sweater, I mean, look at him. Taking his game to the next level already. Yeah. Come on.
He was wearing 14 last season too, pal.
Shh. We don't need to mention it. It's a new season, new start, fresh start, new season.
Okay. Either way. Bebo let in one tonight and looked pretty solid. Ontario wasn't bringing a whole lot of pressure tonight, but hey, the Cuda, booyah, great start, and they play Bakersfield again tomorrow. And rule of thumb here for you people, AHL TV is doing a free preview starting tonight for the next couple of days, so go check it out. You can watch the Barracuda game if you're out of market for free. You can watch it if you're in market for free. So go check that out. Playing Bakersfield tomorrow at 7 o'clock. What? Yes, 7 p.m.
Yep, 7 p.m.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have a question. Are they still doing the goal dance?
Oh, yeah.
What? Good. That thing?
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. In fact, we tweeted that out today, best. Too. Got a picture of two of my friends doing it. I saw them at the game and I said, okay, we're going to gift that and put that out. So yes, it is available.
and we also have a gif of AJ celebrating a Barracuda win too.
Oh.
Oh, joy. So again, I can sit here and beat the power play drum and that will happen until the Sharks go on the power play. That's why it's called the power play drum. You beat it until it explodes. So I look forward to this Monday game. The Islanders, I mean, we're talking a Tavares-less. That should have been something Rocket should have said. A Tavares-less Islanders squad with a brand new coach. So what do you look forward on Monday morning, Eric?
Me being very tired from doing inventory at work, but for the Sharks, I think you look at the brand new road trip. I mean, they're going to get back into the East Coast early tomorrow, I would think, and kind of get situated and everything, which will help them, I think, in the long run, especially since their next game is going to be 10 a.m. on their clocks. And, I think maybe a little sluggish start, but I think after they get things going, they're going to take over the Islanders.
All right. Rocket, I mean, currently the Islanders are undefeated. Does that worry you? It's one win.
small sample size. I mean, they could win every single game that they have up until February 1st, and then they could just take a nosedive, and everything I say could be completely negated. So I refuse to speculate how things are going to go. No, this doesn't worry me. Darn it. It's a game. Games are supposed to be played to and be enjoyed, not to worry about.
All right. Well, if you want to talk about worry, it is a back-to-back situation. So after the Islanders, the very next day, they face the orange Brent Burns. And when I say that, of course, I'm talking about gritty.
I thought you were going to say you'd be on meth.
Man, you know what, though, is that the Flyers just got done handing the Knights a really solid loss. And I think that I worry a little bit about that matchup, whereas I don't really worry the Islanders matchup.
Flyers are a dark horse for a lot of people.
They're pretty bright orange for being a dark horse.
I mean, they can have more than one color. So, if
just saying.
Now we throw it out to the chat. If you have a question, by all means, pop it all in there. And while I start looking at the questions, it's time for it's time for Eric to give you the unbelievably long reach around tonight.
It's wrap around.
Sorry, my bad.
Ah, jeez. All right, yes. A full two-game docket on the NHL schedule, so we'll throw in some AHL scores in there as well. Earlier this evening, the Hurricanes get their first win under new head coach Rod Brind'Amour, 3-1 win over the Blue Jackets. That was actually on NHL Network with Martinuk, Sebastian Aho, and Michael Furland with the goals for the Canes, Dubinsky with the lone goal for the Blue Jackets. The other game was the one we've been talking about, the Sharks and the Kings in overtime winning in 3-2. We just mentioned the Barracuda winning 4-1, Dylan Gambrell with two goals and assist. Their next opponent will be the Bakersfield Condors, and they scored six goals in the second period to beat the Stockton Heat 8-1. In their season opener. That's the Barracuda's next opponent. Also, the Colorado Eagles start their AHL existence with a loss in overtime to the Chicago Wolves, 3-2. Grand Rapids loses to Texas, 3-1. The Battle of Innie and Winnie, as many of my co-hosts would make fun of me, would be taking place in the AHL equivalent, with Manitoba losing to Iowa 4-1. Let's see. We also have the Hartford Wolfpack beating Providence 4-2, and the Charlotte Checkers beating Rochester 6-2, and the Marlies dominating the Utica Comets, the AHL affiliate of the Vancouver Canucks, 7-3. Oh, and Rockford beat Cleveland. Cleveland beat Rockford 4-1. Back to you, AJ.
Yes, Rock.
Okay, so Skylar Greenberg in the chat asks, so if Gambrell keeps playing like he did today for the Cuda, how long will it take for him to get called back up to the big club? My answer to that is as soon as it takes for somebody to get injured.
Potentially, or it depends on if they're not liking what they're seeing from that fourth line, but you also just gave Goodrow a two-year extension. Obviously, you did that for a reason. You got him playing center, but if Gambrell's going to make a name for himself, by all means, get him up here, see what he can do, and Chartier goes back down. I mean, you have that option, so there you go. How many games now do you give before the power play some changes happen? 82 went by last year, and we didn't see much of a change, so I'm probably looking around there. I'm just saying, I'm not going to ask that question. Suomela looked speedy but took a dumb penalty. I don't have a problem with Suomela's game tonight. I thought he was fine. I mean, young players, he's playing his second NHL game. They're going to take a dumb penalty from time to time. Pavelski took kind of a dumb interference penalty tonight. So it happens. I got no problems with Sumo's game.
I was just going to say, and Felix Chow says it in the chat, whose games have you liked the most tonight, and who do you think could use more polish? I would want to say I like Suomela, even though he had that penalty. He's played pretty good. And like you guys said, it softens the blow of losing Tierney.
For me, I'm still looking at Sorensen. That's my guy. I like what he's doing so far, taking advantage of the opportunity. I mean, the kid is fantastic in the playoffs. So I want to see him be able to do that over 82 games. I liked him. Who was like a player that stood out for you tonight, Rock? Maybe that doesn't get as much love as, you know.
It doesn't get as much love. God, as much as, well, it's nice to see that Garku Lidrow is no longer in Pete DeBoer's doghouse it's good that, and I mean, I said it before, like, it sucks that they had to get rid of all these good players before he has the time to shine, and whether or not he's the same caliber as those players, We'll find out. You know, this is his big chance. But I like, God, I'm going to, I know that, you know, Timo Meier is supposed to be the next big thing and everything, but he's still, it's really fun to watch because I haven't really had this opportunity before in my experience as a fan to watch a young player come onto a team roster and after a couple of seasons begin to find his personality on the ice as a player. So watching him develop as a professional, I guess I should say, has really impressed me. Much like watching Dylan skating improve over the past, you know, several years has been like, yeah. Watching Timo's patience improve, watching his ability to focus and not get frustrated with himself or with other players or with whatever, like watching him do that has been phenomenal. Seeing him use his size more, just like, watching his growth as a professional hockey player has been outstanding. And I'm excited for him. I'm excited for the Sharks. And I'm excited for this season. I know he gets a lot of praise, but I don't really ever talk about him. So I wanted to say that.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about Sorensen. I mean, there is a jersey on the back of my chair. I'm just saying. But anyway. Oh.
Sorensen.
And of course, a lot of people talking about Hurdle. I mean, how can you not? The kid was arguably the best shark in the playoffs last season. Kid was a beast. That sick dangle on Fowler versus the Ducks was just redonkulous. So I look forward to more creative play from him. I mean, holy cow. It's not going to surprise me if we get 20 games in and everybody says, you know, your top line, of course, is going to be Thornton, Pavelski, and Meier. I think we're going to look at about 20 games in and realize just based on time on ice, we're getting to the point where the top line is going to be Couture and Hurdle and LeBanc. And the second line might start being Suomelo and Donskoy. I mean, we're just based on that. You got a couple older guys out there. They're not as fleet of foot, but they're very, very intelligent hockey-wise. Maximize them. Maybe bring their minutes down a little bit. Give some more time to the others, but that's just me. Couple of things before we jet here. Some really fun matchups to look for tomorrow. I mean, it's just wall-to-wall hockey, people, tomorrow. I mean, starts at, what, 10 a.m.? Yeah.
It's 10 a.m. It's the global series game from Sweden.
There's just a couple that you want to pay attention to. Tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Sens and Maple Leafs. How fun is that game going to be? Well, I expect a steamroller of a game from the Leafs on that one. That's what I'm looking forward to. I think it's too bad this game isn't in Ottawa, because I feel like Ottawa fans would just be... Oh, just a special kind of salty. Like, there just might not be enough salt left. And then the other one that I noticed here, Ducks Coyotes, that could be a lot of fun. And then Canucks Flames. I mean, obviously, I'm partial to the Pacific Division matchups, but those should be some solid games. I mean, what are you looking forward to watching tomorrow, Rock?
The insides of my eyelids. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. It's past 1 o'clock in the morning, so I'm really tired. Who's playing again tomorrow?
You got Oilers Devils, Jets Stars, Rangers Sabres, Senators Leafs, Panthers Lightning, Preds Islanders, Canadiens Pens, Blackhawks Blues. Oh, that might actually be a good one. Golden Knights Wild.
Canadiens Pens.
Yeah, I figured. There's nothing makes Rock just light up more than a Penguins loss.
Yeah, no, like I have actually, like the games that I have seen, I know small sample size because it's only the second game of the season, but the games that I have seen that the Canadiens have played are surprisingly good. So I look forward to watching them destroy Pittsburgh. I hate Pittsburgh so much. I hate Pittsburgh so much.
Okay.
That's all.
Taking a note from the chat, wanting a Kayla cam.
Kayla cam.
Oh boy.
we might have to do that. You know what? I might do that on Instagram. Just every once in a while, go live. Just point pointed at her for like, I don't know, 3 minutes, do a 3 minute story on Instagram. So look forward to that. That'll be on my channel though. I'm not putting that on Teal Town.
I'm there for it.
Oh, good question. Puck Guy, what did you think of Kovalchuk's return to the NHL?
Wasn't bad. I mean, he didn't score.
Five years away.
Yeah, I mean, didn't. You start new, you're going to have some kinks, and, it wasn't anything that, really stood out for me with Kovalchuk. He did set up some scoring chances, but nothing huge in my mind.
Again, he's just getting back. Let's see where he's at after 20 games. And I just had a great idea from the chat. You know what? Kayla Cam goes live the day we hit 1,000 subscribers. So take the opportunity right now, people. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hit the notification bell. We go live after every single Sharks game. And I also wanted to just ask this real fast. What do you think about this layout tonight, guys, versus the Google Hangout thing where they're in little boxes on the bottom and all that stuff and we can't do anything really dynamic? Is this a significant upgrade? I feel like it is. But anywho. Yeah, Kobe, not significant in the game. Yeah.
Yeah. A sleepy mofo saying that Austin Wagner kid is very fast. Yeah.
Indeed. Yes, sir.
He definitely looks dangerous for sure. I think people were asking earlier, I forget where it was. Thank you, Laurel, for bringing it up. The when does Rourke Chartier get into the lineup?
As soon as Goodrow gets in the doghouse.
Maybe sometime on the road trip, but if things keep getting hot, then it's not going to happen. And yes, somebody already answered the question that Jessica had, which was Timo Meier. His contract ends at the end of this season. He is a restricted free agent.
Ooh, and you already know that you got to pay Carlson. Although that does make me feel a little bit better about the Sharks' chances of winning the Cup this year, because, boy, certain guys really play very well when they're in a contract year. So, Carlson, he's going to get paid. But Meier, this is the time for him to really flourish into that kind of Marlowe 2.0, or better yet, Nolan 2.0. I would really like that. So I think we're probably about done here, boys and girls. So Rocket, your final thoughts and where the people can find you. Obviously it's written in big white letters underneath your photo right now, but let the people know anyway.
Final thoughts for the evening. Progress goes forward, So does the puck. My name is Rocket Backhander. You can find me on the social media, hanging out on Instagram, taking photographs here in Nashville of my life as a Sharks fan. Sometimes it's colorful, sometimes it's just tragic. That's Rocket Backhander, one word, on Instagram. Or you can check me out on Twitter, musing about Sharks and teal things. I have teal Sharks. Weather, traffic, news on the eights. My name is Rocket Backhander. I have the nose for the news and the heels to go get it. It's a capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76, R Backhander 76 on Twitter. Come and follow me. It's fun. I promise.
Eric?
Tonight, hopefully the start of many, many wins that continue on until June. Hopefully they get on their road trip, get together, can kind of unite together as a team and get things going a little bit more. But I hope tonight's just the start of something special for the Sharks. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at PuckGuy14. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for subscribing. We got another one. We're at 902 now. California Cruisin' is asking Rocket, how's the traffic in Nashville compared to the Bay Area, though?
And I said worse, but for different reasons. The roads are not as you know how little you have to do to get a driver's license, like pass driver's license test in California in order to get a driver's license. Pretend that test were about one third the difficult the difficulty level as the California test, and that's the test here. So those people are free to drive, and it's frightening.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know in California they've got like 17 different variations for all the different languages for DMV manuals. So do they have the hillbilly version there, or is that why it's so easy? What is it?
No, it's not a hillbilly version. It's just that they don't have a budget version, so it's the same test. But since everybody just keeps rewriting the answers, at some point you just turn it in and it's already got everything all filled out for you. So
they don't have stop signs there. They just say, y'all don't.
No, because it's just you know. Y'all just, everybody who drives just knows. And if you don't know, well, you shouldn't be here.
Oh, that man, Nick, you know me too well. He knows that he knows that there's a police chase right now, and that he's like wondering if I'm ending the show early just to go watch it. No, that is not the case. He knows me too well.
Welcome to Traffic After Dark.
Yes.
Really quick before we go, Kevin Kurz just tweeted out Meyer on the Dowdy incident. Quote, just gave him a little pat on his shin pad, and he just, I don't know what he did, but he was laying there and screaming, so.
might have hit the sweet spot. I mean, I can see that from a lesser player maybe looking for a call or something, like going down like a soccer sniper or something. But somebody like Drew Doughty, that does surprise me. I expect more from a guy like Doughty. But anywho.
I don't.
So, again, with that, we go live after every Sharks game. We're on our drive to 1,000. And remember, I got a couple tickets here. And they're going to be for the Columbus game coming up November 1st. And you do us a favor. Help get us to past over 1,000. And use that hashtag to share the word. Hashtag TTUSA1000. And someone's going to be winning those tickets. So...
And if we get to 1,200 subscribers before December 31st, Kayla gets to host one of the shows.
Absolutely.
Oh boy.
Guarantee you. Okay. We will go four we will go four panel, and one of the panels will be directly just her. So
let's do it, people. Let's do it. We can do this. So 1,200.
That's what I'm saying. So my, of course, final thought is always going to be, when the Sharks don't score on the power play, score on the power play. AJ underscore strong on the Twitter, on the Insta, follow at Tailtown USA on Instagram and on Twitter. And as always, subscribe. Thank you very much for watching, and we will catch you on Columbus Day. Okay. I guess it's Tailtown after lunch. All right. Tailtown after lunch, everybody. So enjoy, and we will see you guys next time.